Good morning, everyone. As we have heard already, it is great to be here. One thing that I am excited about today is that the sermon that I prepared, that God has laid on my heart, is I hope that God speaks to you this morning, and I hope that that He lays something on your heart. And if He lays something on your heart so heavy that it stops, we've got gentlemen here that can restart it. And they've got an ambulance outside, so if anybody's toes get stomped on or broken, we'll just put you in there and they can take care of you, and that's a blessing. So we've got all the bases covered this morning. And as we've been talking about this whole idea of knowing our story and knowing this fairy tale that is this true story of the relationship that we share with God, that we are in because of His grace and His mercy. Life is, in the middle of that, life is tough. We are fallen people in the middle of a fallen world trying to connect as physical beings with a perfect spiritual God. And life is tough. And no one knows that more than your mother. One of the things that I want us to understand today is that the sermon today, the teaching that I feel like that God has placed on my heart to share is holding up an example. This morning, I'm not going to outline any deep theological points that may have been missed over the years of your Bible study. I'm not going to illuminate maybe some hidden truth that's escaped us. But this morning, I'm going to talk about things that we all know, that we've all experienced, and I want to hold them up as an example of how to be and how to live, because I know that we have all been given an example like that. And this morning I want to talk about the heart of a mother. As we celebrate Mother's Day and as we, embarrassingly give mom one day out of the year, after all the things that are done on every single day on behalf of those that are served by our mothers and the motherly, we give them one day. And, they end up doing stuff for us on that day anyway. But it's tough. Life is tough, and mothers get that. But it's the heart of a mother that we read about in 1 Samuel 1, 2 through 11 that I want to hold up and hold up as an example of something to be honored, something to be remembered, but more importantly than honor and remembrance, something to be copied, something to be emulated, to be imitated in our life. Because, speaking from experience, my mother, all of the things that she taught me, all of the things that she exampled for me, of everything that she ever did, all she really wanted in return was for me to love and serve God as much as she loved and served God. And that's it, more than any presents or honors or trophies or anything, is to, as Paul says, to imitate me as I imitate Christ. You see, the reality is that everything that we need to know, we learned from our mothers, didn't we? I mean, yeah, dad's taught us some great things, how to play catch and to throw a good spiral and, to hunt and fish and, tell the truth and all that kind of stuff. Dads are good for some things, but everything that we needed to know. I mean, some of the things that dad teaches us, you can really get through life without. I mean, maybe not well, but you can. But mom taught us all of the things that you just have to know. You can't get through a life and a relationship with God without. And see, the thing that you got to understand about godly mothers is that godly mothers and godly women do not wear badges of honor. If you look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'll explain what I mean by that. Starting in verse 1, there was a certain man. He was from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. And he had two wives, and one was called Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty. He had two sons. Peninnah had two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Were Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she had made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used to touch his head." Now the whole razor part, that's the Nazarite vow, and that's an external vow to the Lord that she made on his behalf, and he kept it. But you see, the difference that we have here are two women, one who has children and one who doesn't. One who is who's a godly mother and one who is not. You see, because Hannah displayed all of the characteristics of a godly mother, a godly woman, even before she ever bore a child. You see, the fact is that for Peninnah, the wife who had the children, you see, it was a badge of honor that she wore. And she provoked Hannah regarding these children. And she, you know, she had all of this honor and all of these accolades and all of this standing in the community. And she took every opportunity to bring that to the attention of Hannah and undoubtedly other people. But Hannah, it wasn't about wearing a badge of honor and saying, "Look at all of my children. Look at how much God obviously loves me because He's blessed me. Look at all this. Look at what I've done." It wasn't about wearing a badge of honor, because Hannah was the badge of honor. See, she was the badge of honor that her children would wear. She was the badge of honor that God could look upon and say, "That's the kind of person that I can bless." Other people might get stuff, but Hannah was blessable because of that heart. See, Peninnah had children, but they weren't a blessing. Peninnah's children were objects of brag, of boasting. They became the things of insults. See, Peninnah wanted to wear badges of honor and to be honored because she had children. "Look at the children I've given you, Elkanah. Look at all, obviously, the favor that God has for me over this one." Hannah wasn't like that at all. She wanted a son for God's sake, not hers. She wanted a child that she could raise, that she could teach to be a godly person, to honor God. Not herself. Hannah's prayer was not, "God, please give me a child so that I could be in better standing with my husband, so that I can be in better standing with the community, so I can seem as though be a person of influence, of worth." It was, "God, bless me so that I in turn will be able to bless you more." See, that's the heart of a mother. That's the heart of a godly woman. And it isn't about having children. It's about being devoted to God and lifting up that example for all to see. So there's some characteristics of this godly mother, this godly woman that I want us to pay close attention to this morning. And it isn't because these are new concepts or new principles that I hope that maybe we've never thought of, or things that we know, but they're worthy of being honored. They're worthy of being exemplified. This morning, I want us to understand that a godly mother, a godly woman is a woman of principle. You know, God matters to her. In all of the story that we have leading up to this, where Hannah is provoked, where she is chastised by this other woman, where you know her heart is broken. At no time do we ever hear about her ever fighting back or lashing out or questioning. Everything that she ever did was in a Godward direction, because God mattered to her. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. It starts out. And she made a vow. And the vow goes, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget me, but give me a son, I will give him to you all the days of his life. You see, Hannah, her first inclination is to make a vow. Now, what does it mean to make a vow? It's making an oath. It's kind of like making a deal. It's you know, kind of coming up with, you know, I don't want to use the word wager, but it's really saying, you know, it's an if-then statement with God. Is God, if you'll do this, then I will do that. So it sounds a whole lot, you know, like, oh, well, we're trying to make this deal with God. We're trying to manipulate Him to get Him to do what we want Him to do. And that's not at all what Hannah is trying to do. What Hannah is displaying to us is that God mattered. Because her first inclination was to deal with God on His terms, not hers. God matters to this woman. Other places in Scripture, you see people who want something to happen, who want a particular set of circumstances to show up on their behalf. Abraham comes to mind. He was told, you'll have a son. Well, we're way too old. Well, you'll have a son. Well, and that didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it didn't happen some more. And so what did Abraham do? Well, he took matters into his own hands, didn't he? He said, well, maybe I'll get with this other person and we'll have a son. And that's what God meant. That's not at all what Hannah was thinking. God mattered to her. Her first inclination was to not take matters into her own hands, but to deal with God directly. A woman of principle knows that if anything's going to happen, it's up to God. My life is in His hands. I'm not going to take it into my own hands. I'm not going to circumvent the will of God, the character of God, the circumstances that God has seen fit to put me in. God matters to her. The second thing, not only is a godly woman a woman of principle, and she's not going to forsake those principles even in the face of ridicule, even in the face of heartache, of misery. She's not forsaking those principles. Her belief is in God and in Him alone. And a godly mother is a woman of prayer. See, prayer was her only option. Again, she didn't take matters into her own hands. She didn't seek out this remedy or that, or maybe it's the man I'm with. Maybe I need to have, you know, her option to solve this problem was prayer. You know, I've said it before that I believe so much that our society and even our church culture sees prayer as not necessarily our first option, but it's so much of a last resort. It's all throughout the vernacular of our culture, isn't it? We talk about prayer in such, glib ways that it is just sort of this thing that is in the background. And when everything else fails, then we're going to pull out prayer. Basketball game. Final seconds. By the way, did anybody see the Bulls and Cavalier game the other night? The end of that game. Tie ball game. Derrick Rose for the Bulls. He goes and he gets the inbound and there's 3 seconds left. And you know what the commentator said? He threw up a prayer. It just happened that he hit the backboard. Whishing, way win by 3. Oh my goodness, rush the court. But does that bother anyone else but me? Is that, with this, when everything else fails, throw up a prayer. Last minute on a football game. I mean, the play of the, we've tried everything else. We've tried the double reverse, the Statue of Liberty, every kind of hidden ball, the fumble rooski, whatever. And we've got 1 second left and 80 yards. What do? Throw a Hail Mary. The name of a prayer. When all else fails, let's just chuck it up in the air. And if we're lucky enough, for all of the planets to align, and if it bounces off of this and then careens off of that, and it just so happens to land in the back of the cup, our prayer was answered. You know what we think of prayer? It's luck. It's luck. I mean, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. You know what luck is? It's going to happen whether we prayed or not. But for Hannah, this and a godly mother, that's not at all the attitude that she has. That's not at all the eyes with which she sees prayer. Prayer is not a last resort. Prayer is the only option. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Do you know, in trying to solve this problem, and the problem wasn't necessarily children for her. The problem was that her heart was broken because she didn't understand why something that she wanted to honor God was not happening for her. It wasn't necessarily that she didn't have kids. It's that her problem was that her heart was broken. So what is it that breaks your heart today? What is it that disappoints you about life? There's no way that we can list all of the things that make this life hard, but is, like Hannah, is prayer our first option? Do we weep before the Lord? Do we take that before them? Do we follow the example of our mothers and all godly women that we've ever known where prayer is the option to soothe the troubled heart? Not only is a godly woman, woman of principle, woman who is not questioning God's authority but surrendering to it. Not only is she a woman of principle and a woman of prayer. One of my greatest, most favorite examples of someone dependent on prayer, Moses. The valley of Rephidim, as he holds his hands up to prayer, holds his hands up to God in prayer, and the Israelites are in the valley and they're winning as long as his hands are held in prayer to God, then they're winning the battle, and whenever they drop, they lose. Remember that scene? I wonder who taught him that. You think it was the mother who raised him up until he went to live in Pharaoh's home? You think it was the woman who God supernaturally imposed upon his life that somehow in the small amount of time that she had him, taught him all about his Hebrew heritage, all about the God of his forefathers, the God that he believed in, all the way up to his unfortunate incident with killing the Egyptian and trying to hide him? Who taught him so much about prayer? To depend on prayer, not the sword. To depend on prayer and not the might of a trained army. She's a woman of principle. She's a woman of prayer. But a godly mother is also a woman of perseverance, a woman of stick-to-itiveness. Even when she looks foolish for doing so. You have this example in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. As she kept on praying. I love that. I love it. I love that verse. It says everything you need to know about Hannah in one sentence. As she kept on praying. She was going to pray. She was going to believe in God, and she was going to do nothing other than that. And she kept, she prayed, and she wept, and she kept on praying. So much of my life cannot be described as kept on praying. Because for me, sometimes there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to get down to business to really solve this problem. But not Hannah. She kept on praying. What did that look like? I mean, this was a temple of the Lord. This was where people went to pray and to offer sacrifices and to worship God. This is where people went to experience the presence of God. And as she kept on praying, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk. And he said, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." Isn't that a man for you? I mean, there's a woman pouring her heart out to God, and he doesn't even he's the priest, and he doesn't even recognize it. I don't know if Hannah had ever seen this exampled for her. I don't know if Hannah had read a manual on deep, heartfelt, Spirit-led prayer. But she just persevered and did it. Even when it was unrecognizable to those that should have seen it before, even when it looked like something they'd never seen at all, even when she was chastised for it, she didn't just say, "Okay, you're right," and move on. She said, "No, this is what I'm doing. I'm pouring my heart out to God because I want to honor Him." How Hannah looked to the outsider was of no consequence to her. How Hannah looked in the eyes of God, that's all that mattered. This Mother's Day, I'm sure there are flowers that have been bought, candy that has been delivered, wonderful, thought out, heartfelt gifts, phone calls made, cards that were picked out with love and care and signed and things, and maybe even at the very last minute you got a 3x5 card and wrote something down on it and ran it downstairs and said, "Hey Mom, I love you." Whatever it looks like. But can we honor them? Not with gifts. Not with flowers and candies. Not with cards or letters. But can we honor the women that we see honor God? That are women of principle. Women who don't resort to prayer, but rely on prayer. Women who aren't necessarily worried about what others think of her as much as she's worried about staying the course. Keep on praying. Even when others might think you're foolish for it, even when others might think that you're foolish for thinking that kid will turn it around, or for thinking that blessing will come through, or thinking that, you know, God has given up on you. Our mothers and the godly women in our life will show us, they will tell us that even when it looks like everything has left, God is still there, and rely on Him. Even when you're ridiculed for that behavior. Think about the story of Hannah. There's ridicule at the beginning. And all she wants to do is honor God. There's ridicule in the middle. And all she wants to do is honor God. And it ends It ends with this prayer in chapter 2 and verse 1. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my strength is lifted high. Can we honor them with more than gifts? Can we honor them with more than cards and with more than I love yous? Can we honor them with following their example of honoring God? This Mother's Day, can we follow them as they follow God? Hayden's going to come up. He's going to lead us in a closing song. The name of that song is Father God. The reason that we picked this song is because Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. And the chorus is, may my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. All that our mothers, all that the godly women in our life have ever taught us is that follow God today with every step and with every thought. As we honor our mothers today, can we do that very thing as together we stand and as we sing?